Blog Talk Radio.
Jehovah. Jehovah. Come on, come on, come on. Where am I worshiping? Jehovah.
You are the reason why I'm living. Woke me up this morning.
Hello, welcome to Prolific Fire. I'm your humble host, Prophetess Stacy. I pray that each of you enjoyed your Memorial Day with your family. But now it's time to get into the Word. Thank you for joining me on tonight. I appreciate it. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, tonight I ask that you set me down, Lord God, and that you stand up mightily in me, God. Minister to your people, God. Feed your people on tonight, that they may be blessed, delivered, Lord God, that somebody may hear the answer that they've been looking for on tonight. In the name of Jesus, amen. Tonight, the foundational text comes from 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, and I will be reading from the Amplified Bible on tonight. Now the wife of a son of the prophets cried to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, but the creditor has come to take my two sons to be his slaves." Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you of sale value in the house?" She said, "Your handmaid has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go around and borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels, and not a few. And when you come in, shut the door upon you and your sons. Then pour out the oil you have into all these vessels, setting aside each one when it is full." So she went from him and shut the door upon herself and her sons, who brought to her the vessels, and she poured the oil. When the vessels were all full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not a one left." Then the oil stopped multiplying. Then she came and told the man of God. He said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest." In tonight's foundational text, we see a widow dealing with problem on top of problem. Number one, her husband was dead, so she was dealing with loss, grief. Number two, she had nothing worth selling in her house, so she was dealing with lack, borderline poverty. Creditor, she was dealing with the pressure of overwhelming debt and her inability to pay. Number four, the unthinkable. She was forced to deal with the very real possibility that her children would be taken away from her permanently. Number five, the nightmare. She was forced to deal with, realize that the sons she had big dreams for, the sons she and her husband were raising to be their own men, could now end up being somebody else's slaves permanently. And somebody once said, if it ain't one thing, it's another. If it ain't one thing, it's another. The title of tonight's message. Problem on top of problem, all of which seemed to need her immediate attention. Stressed, she needed help. And she got help because she was not afraid to ask. 2 Kings 4 opens with her cry for help. The foundational text says, "Now the wife of a son of the prophets cried to Elisha." You see, she knew as the wife of a son of the prophets, she was entitled to help from Elisha. Sons of the prophets, being members of a band or guild of prophets. Son of refers to membership in a group or a class and does not imply a family relationship. Sons of the prophets suggest a community or organization of prophets. Sons of the prophets suggest a community or organization of prophets. The woman in tonight's text was not afraid or ashamed to approach the community her husband had been a part of up until the time of his death. She even reminds Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord." Some of you You are a part of a community, an organization, a ministry that can help you now in your time of need. But you're afraid, ashamed to ask for help. Some of you, you are a part of a community, an organization, a ministry that can help you now in your time of need. But you're afraid, ashamed to ask for help. Help that is not asked for is help that is not received. Help that is not asked for is help that is not received. The Bible says, ask and you will receive. Matthew 7, verse 7, from God's Word translation. Beloved, ask for help. We all deal with problems. Beloved, ask for help. We all deal with problems. Trouble occurs in all of our lives. Do not be afraid or ashamed. The scripture says, we, meaning all of us, are experiencing trouble on every side, but are not crushed. We are not perplexed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are all experiencing trouble on every side, but are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. 2 Corinthians 4 and 8 from the NET Bible. The International Standard Version says, in every way we are troubled. In every way we are troubled, but not crushed, frustrated, but not in despair. Your frustration is understandable. Somebody, your frustration is understandable. But it's a lie from the pit of hell that says you have to be in despair, absent of hope, discouraged. Widow, widower, single mom, single dad, wife, husband, divorcee, in a dead-end job. No job at all. Unemployment about to run out. Single person in general. Co-workers causing chaos. Boss taking sides. Family drama. Marriage issues. Overwhelming debt. House about to go in foreclosure. Behind on rent. One paycheck away from being homeless. Caring for a disabled child. Child support late. Children in need of this and that. And somebody once said, if it ain't one thing, it's another. Problem on top of problem. Children in need of deliverance. Children hanging out with the wrong crowd. Drinking, smoking, being promiscuous, being rebellious, stubborn. Car in need of repairs. Repossession of your car, furniture, property. Trying to take care of aging parents and you're sick yourself. Physically hurting, emotionally drained, mentally tested. If it ain't one thing, it's another. If it ain't one thing, it's another. Frustrated. You have every right to be, but do not be in despair. Frustrated, you have every right, but do not be in despair. Do not lose hope. The Lord knows how to rescue godly people from trials. Hear me tonight. The Lord knows how to rescue godly people from their trials. 2 Peter 2 and 9 from the New Living Translation. Now the Lord's rescue plan might not come in the way you expect, but you must remember he is the one that knows how. He is the one that knows how, not you and not the woman in tonight's text. It's obvious. The woman had no idea how to fix her problems. All she knew for sure was she was entitled to Elisha's help. And after crying to him that her husband was dead, you know he feared the Lord and that the creditors had come to take her sons. When Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? That question should have been her big chance to say, I need this, this, and this. Hey, Elisha, I need this, this, and this done. But instead, she didn't have a response. She said nothing. She had no idea how to fix her problems. Like many of us, we know how to vent, express our frustration, but after venting, fail to construct a plan of action. We know how to vent. We know how to get our frustration out. We know how to talk about it when we're angry. We'll talk about it and talk about it and talk about it, but when that's all over, when we calm down, we have no idea how to form a plan of action. When trouble attacks on every side, it's okay to attack back. When trouble attacks on every side, it is okay to attack back. So Elisha said, "Tell me, what have you of sale value in the house?" By saying this, Elisha was trying to get the woman to think from a different perspective. He was trying to get her to think from a different perspective. But love, sometimes you have to think above where you are. You have to think from a different perspective. By saying this, Elisha was implementing a plan of action. Of course, she said, "Your handmaiden has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." Don't get so caught up in your problems that you miss any practical solutions that might be present. Somebody tonight, don't you get so caught up in your problems, looking at your problems, looking at your situation, that you miss it. God is trying to give you practical instructions and you are missing it. Don't get so caught up in your problems that you miss any practical solutions that might be present. Don't be so quick to dismiss the practical. Don't be so quick to dismiss the practical, expecting something more complicated. God is not always deep. You heard me. God is not always deep and never spooky. Sometimes he offers the simplest solutions. God is not always deep and never spooky. Sometimes he offers the simplest solutions. This is one of my favorite scriptures. I found it just maybe 2 weeks ago. And I'm going to read it again. "But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, personally and practically." See, there's that word. Personally and practically. "Directly discerning and recognizing my character, that I am the Lord." Jeremiah 9:24 from the Amplified Bible. The Lord is practical. The Lord is practical. Do you know him in a practical sense? Can you recognize his character when it is he is giving you practical instructions? Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me what you have of sale value in the house." She said, "Your handmaid has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go around and borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels, not a few." Some of you would have overlooked instructions as practical, as simple as that. Some of you would have overlooked instructions as practical, as simple as that, thinking that can't possibly be God. Just because they didn't speak in tongues and spit on you, does that mean what they said to you was not of God? Just because they didn't speak in tongues and spit on you, does that mean that what they said to you was not of God? Elisha saying to the woman in tonight's text, "Tell me, what have you of sale value in the house?" She said, "Your handmaiden has nothing in the house except a jar of oil. Go around and borrow vessels and not a few. Go sell the oil and you and your sons live on the rest." That's no different than God himself saying to Moses, "What is that in your hand?" Moses said, "A rod." God said, "Cast it on the ground." And at first, it became a situation that caused Moses to fear, just like the situation you're facing has created fear in you. Moses was afraid at first, just like you are afraid now. The situation has created fear in you. But then that same rod situation became a testimony. And somebody tonight, your situation will become a testimony. That rod situation became a testimony so that people would believe God had showed up. The problems that are mounting against you, hear me tonight. The problems that are mounting against you, problem on top of problem, if you just hold on, in spite of, you will see change. You will see a revelation of God. He will show up. And somebody tonight, what Elisha said to the woman, what God himself said to Moses, is no different from what that man or woman of God told you to do. But you disobeyed because the instructions were so practical, simple. Again, I say to you, do not be so quick to dismiss the practical, expecting something more complicated. Somebody, don't be afraid to believe. That's your problem. You're afraid to believe. Don't be afraid to believe. All you need is a real man of God like Elisha, or a real woman of God filled with the Holy Spirit that will look, see, and speak your solution. All you need is a real man of God like Elisha, or a real woman of God filled with the Holy Spirit that will look, see, and speak your solution. Go and sell that and pay your bills. Somebody, go and sell that and pay your bills. The creditors you're facing will back off if you stop shopping so much and respect the money that's coming in. Somebody, you need to respect the money that's coming in. If you don't respect money but abuse money, your life is bound to fall into slavery. Your life is bound to fall into slavery. A slave to the creditor. Proper respect for money. Tithe 10% of the gross of your income. Give offerings. You decide the amount. The tithe belongs to God. It's already His, but it's the offering, your free will giving, that He will multiply back to you. Save 10% or whatever you can and spend whatever's necessary. Save what you can and spend whatever is necessary. Spend what is necessary. Beloved, don't be afraid of practical instructions given when it is God. Beloved, don't be afraid of practical instructions given when it is God. I know a lot of ungodly things do occur in what is supposed to be God's house these days. I know a lot of ungodly things do occur in what is supposed to be God's house these days. But still, pastors are supposed to be spiritual parents, not predators, not sexual predators, not mind manipulators, abusing your trust, abusing the platform God has given. Pastors are supposed to be spiritual parents, not predators, not sexual predators, not mind manipulators, abusing your trust, abusing the platform God has given. Therefore, if they ask you to do something that's illegal, sexual in nature, nasty, or something that makes you feel dirty, shame, humiliated, or strange, it is not God. Hear me tonight. If they do anything, if they do something that's sexual or it's illegal or it makes you feel dirty or shame, humiliated, it's not of God. Romans 13 tells us to obey the laws of the land. Do not do anything illegal. I don't care if they told you to do it and you're trying to obey your pastor. Don't do anything illegal. That's Romans 13. It tells us to obey the laws of the land. And Leviticus 18 talks about all the types of sexual behavior that is against the will of God. Read Leviticus 18. It talks about all type of nasty sexual behavior that is against the will of God. That in itself is a problem. If it ain't one thing, it's another. That's the practical side of tonight's text. Now let's discuss the spiritual side of the same text. You ready for the spiritual? I gave you the practical first. Now we're going into the spiritual. Once again, thank you everybody for joining me on tonight. I appreciate you. I really do. Then Elisha said, go around and borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels and not a few. And when you come in, shut the door. That's key to the spiritual side. Shut the door upon you and your sons. Then pour out all you have into all those vessels, setting aside each one when it is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon herself and her sons, who brought to her vessels as she poured the oil. In tonight's foundational text, the woman and her sons were able to get some things done. The woman and her sons were able to get some things done. They were able to work together to change the course of their future, all because she shut the door upon her and her sons. Upon her and her sons, and they were able to work together and get some things done to change the course of their future. She left no room for the devil to come in, but she shut the door. She left no room for the devil to come in, but she shut the door. Somebody needs to shut the door in your life, and we're going to go on to discuss the doors. There are some doors that you need to shut. Shut the devil out, and you can get more done in your family, in your house, if you shut the door. Shut the door. Leave no room for the devil. Somebody tonight, you left the door open, and the devil has come in. That's why your family is experiencing problem on top of problem. Somebody tonight, you left the door open, and the devil has come in. And that's why your family is experiencing problem on top of problem. Shut the door on Satan. Shut the door on Satan. By Pastor Craig Ledbetter. There are doors in our life that should never be open, or at least left open. You see, the devil is not only a sneaky liar, he is a thief and a destroyer. So if you want to quit being robbed by the devil every day and week, every day and week of your lives, then there are some big doors that must be slammed shut and locked. There are some big doors that must be slammed shut and locked. The doors may be opened by, A, an uncontrolled, and I'm just going to go through these real fast with the scripture. I'm going to discuss two of them, but each one of them will be listed on my social media sites. So if you're not following me on social media, you need to, so that you can get all of these with the scripture. The door may be opened by an uncontrolled tongue. That's Proverbs 15 and 4. B, an uncontrolled imagination. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5. C, fears. Matthew 26, 6 and 9 through 74. D, sinful habits. The sinful habits are things like unforgiveness, immorality, pornography, anger, bitterness, jealousy. And the scripture is Ephesians 4 and 26 through 27. Stubbornness, E, stubbornness. 1 Samuel 15 and 23. F, emotional hurt. And emotional hurt would be rejected or being embarrassed or even abused. The scripture, Proverbs 15 and 13. G, any kind of occult involvement. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. H, drug, cigarette, or alcohol use. 1 Corinthians 3 and 17. And this one right here, it really caught my attention. I, sins of your parents. 2 Kings 22 and 13. Problems can be passed down upon you. Problems can be passed down upon you. 2 Kings 22:10-13. Pastor Ledbetter started at 13, but I'm going to take it back to verse 10. 2 Kings 22:10-13, New King James. Then Shaphan, the scribe, showed the king, saying, Hilkiah, the priest, has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. Now it happened, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, that he tore his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah, the priest, and others, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me, for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord, listen carefully, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is aroused against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book, to do according to all that is written concerning us. A word for somebody, the trouble that's in your house, in your family, is a generational curse passed down to you because of the disobedience of your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, lifestyle, etc. Problems passed down to you, generational curse, is one type of door that needs to be shut. Problems passed down to you, generational curse, that's one type of door that needs to be shut. Another door that I want to discuss is stubbornness. 1 Samuel 15 and 23 from the New King James. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. For somebody, holding on to what you believe is tearing up your house. Holding on to what you believe is right is tearing up your house. I'll say it again, holding on to what you believe is right, tearing up your house, creating problem on top of problem. So is it really worth it to worship, take pleasure in being right at any cost? Is it worth it to worship, take pleasure in being right at any cost? Stubbornness. Again, all the doors that need to be shut, along with the scripture for each, will be posted on my social media sites. I only discuss two. And I know I went fast going through the scriptures, but you can find it on my social media site. Pastor Ledbetter continues saying, and we're going to use this as our salvation call. If you have allowed evil spirits into your house, then you should know that you have no power of your own to overcome them. You need the stronger power of the Spirit of Jesus in your life. You may receive this stronger power by praying. Number one, I confess to Jesus that I have sinned. Number two, I realize that the penalty for my sin is death. Number three, I believe that you, Jesus, died for all my sins and arose again. Four, I give my life to you, Jesus, letting you become my Lord and Savior. Five, I ask you to come now and live inside of me by your Spirit. And remember, greater is the Holy Spirit in you than the devil and his spirits that are in the world. 1 John 4:4. Let's pray this message out. Father God, from this message, let somebody be able to identify the source of their problems, discern what they can do to change things, and realize when it is you, Father, giving them practical instructions and not someone trying to take advantage of them or the situation, etc. We come against every generational curse, every stubborn spirit on tonight. Be yielded and broken. We shut the door on you, devil, in the name of Jesus. Amen. At this time, if there's anybody on the phone desiring prayer via Blog Talk Radio, you can press 1, and I will be glad to pray with you at this time. If you desire specific prayer, press 1, and I will be glad to pray with you at this time. On June the 3rd, do me a favor on June the 3rd. I want each of you listening under the sound of my voice to join Prophetess Pate for Faith on the Line with Prophetess Pate, Friday night, 7 Eastern, 6 Central, 4 Pacific. Call 712-451-0011. Access code 474723. Again, the number is 712-451-0011. Access code 474723. And that's Friday night, June the 3rd, time 7 Eastern, 6 Central, 4 Pacific. Then join me right back here for Prolific Fire, June the 6th. Right back here, same time, same place, 10 Eastern, 9 Central, 7 Pacific. Then the message will be, put down your weapon. It's kind of a continuation of this message a little bit. Put down your weapon. As Christians, it's time we joined forces and commanded the enemy to put down your weapons. It's time we disarm the enemy. Songs played via Blog Talk Radio tonight were Most High. I'm going to spell his name because I cannot pronounce it. The title of the song is Most High. And the person's name that's singing the song, he spells his name UCHEAGU. Also, I play Making a Way by The Truth Is. Visit the ministry's website. Visit prolificfireministry.com. Prolificfireministry.com. Although there were no prayer requests on tonight, if you desire prayer or private consultation is free. You can always call or text 865-408-8690. That's 865-408-8690. Or you can email prolificfire@gmail.com, prolificfire@gmail.com. Follow me on Periscope @prolificfire, on Twitter at Prolific Fire. Like the Prolific Fire Ministry Facebook page. And also you can follow me on Instagram at Prophetess Stacy. Also, I forgot to add for Prophetess Pate. If you have a prayer request for next Friday, you can send your prayer request to her by emailing NatashaCPate24@gmail.com. That's NatashaCPate24@gmail.com. Until next time, have a blessed night. I love you all.